Chapter 8. The Baudelaire orphans stood outside the gates of the Lucky Smells lumber mill and looked at an ambulance rushing past them as it took Phil to the hospital. They looked at the chewed-up gum letters of the lumber mill sign, and they looked down at the cracked pavement of Paltryville Street. In short, they looked everywhere but at the eye-shaped building. "We don't have to go," Violet said. "We could run away. We could hide until the next train arrived and take it as far as possible. We know how to work in a lumber mill now, so we could get jobs in some other town." "But what if he found us?" Klaus said, squinting at his sister. "Who would protect us from Count Olaf if we were all by ourselves?"
"We could protect ourselves," Violet replied.
"How can we protect ourselves," Klaus asked, "when one of us is a baby and another one can barely see?"
"We've protected ourselves before," Violet said.
"Just barely," Klaus replied. "We've just barely escaped from Count Olaf each time. We can't run away and try to get along by ourselves without glasses. We have to go see Dr. Orwell and hope for the best." Sunny gave a little shriek of fear. Violet, of course, was too old to shriek except in emergency situations, but she was not too old to be frightened. "We don't know what will happen to us inside there," she said, looking at the black door and the eyes people.
"Think, Klaus. Try to think. What happened to you when you went inside?"
"I don't know," Klaus said miserably. "I remember trying to tell Charles not to take me to the eye doctor, but he kept telling me that doctors were my friends and not to be frightened."
"Ha!" Sunny shrieked, which meant, "Ha!"
"And then what do you remember?" Violet asked. Klaus closed his eyes and thought, "I wish I could tell you, but it's like that part of my brain has been wiped clean. It's like I was asleep from the moment I walked into that building until right there at the lumber mill."
"But you weren't asleep," Violet said. "You were walking around like a zombie, and then you caused that accident and hurt poor Phil."
"But I don't remember those things," Klaus said. "It's as if I..." His voice trailed off, and he stared into space for a moment.
"Klaus?" Violet asked worriedly.
"It's as if I were hypnotized," Klaus finished. He looked at Violet and then at Sunny, and his sisters could see he was figuring something out.
"Of course. Hypnosis would explain everything."
"I thought hypnosis was only in scary movies," Violet said.
"Oh no," Klaus answered. "I read the Encyclopedia Hypnotica just last year. It described all these famous cases of hypnosis throughout history. There was an ancient Egyptian king who was hypnotized. All the hypnotist had to do was shout, 'Ramses!' and the king would perform chicken imitations, even though he was in front of the royal court."
"That's very interesting," Violet said, "but..."
"A Chinese merchant who lived during the Ling Dynasty was hypnotized. All the hypnotist had to do was shout, 'Mao!' and the merchant would play the violin, even though he had never seen one before."
"These are amazing stories," Violet said, "but..."
"A man who lived in England in the 1920s was hypnotized. All the hypnotist had to do was shout, 'Bloomsbury!' and he suddenly became a brilliant writer, even though he couldn't read."
"Mazé!" Sunny shrieked, which probably meant, "We don't have time to hear all these stories, Klaus."
Klaus grinned. "I'm sorry," he said, "but it was a very interesting book, and I'm so pleased that it's coming in handy."
"Well, what did the book say about how to stop yourself from being hypnotized?" Violet asked.
Klaus's grin faded.
"Nothing," he said.
"Nothing?" Violet repeated. "An entire encyclopedia about hypnosis said nothing about it at all?"
"If it did, I didn't read any of it. I thought the parts about the famous hypnosis cases were the most interesting, so I read those, but I skipped some of the boring parts."
For the first time since they had walked out of the gates of the lumber mill, the Baudelaire orphans looked at the eye-shaped building, and the building looked back at them. To Klaus, of course, Dr. Orwell's office just looked like a big blur, but to his sisters it looked like trouble. The round door, painted black to resemble the pupil of the eye, looked like a deep and endless hole, and the children felt as if they were going to fall into it.